From the Illinois Soybean Summit, I'm Todd Gleason in Peoria at the Civic Center. It's been a fantastic day, nearly 300 farmers in the audience, and I think more would have been here if we hadn't had such a rough weather situation on Wednesday during the day and into the evening. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago is here now. Mike, it was kind of a big system that rolled through. Is this one of the beginning of maybe a pattern for our springtime weather, do you think?
Well, normally I would quickly say no and just move on, because a lot of the times there's not really too many indicators that can give you a hint of what a long-range weather pattern might look like. But I think we're in a different situation this year, and I would argue that that is more than likely the beginning of what will be a stormier pattern once we get into March. The reason I say that is basically because of the same thing that we've been talking about for about 6 months, and that's the El Nino. There's no doubt that the El Nino is weakening. We can look at temperature data out there in the Pacific, and we can see that it's lost about half a degree Celsius to three quarters of a degree Celsius over the last 3 months. It might not sound like much, but that's a lot, and that tells you that the El Nino is weakening. Now, we know that when we have a strong El Nino, we typically end up with mild winters, and it looks like the Corn Belt will end up having experienced its number 10 mildest winter on record, and that record goes back to 1895-96. We define the winter as December, January, and February. When you look at that El Nino situation and you project it into the spring, typically what you end up seeing is that the Corn Belt ends up wetter or much wetter than normal in El Nino springs. There's only real two examples where that didn't happen since 1960. And one was in 1988, which was the beginning of a large drought. And once the same thing happened in 1966, but 1966 really wasn't all that dry as compared to 88. So we think that that storm that just went through yesterday is going to be the beginning of several more like that. We can already see that there's a high chance for a significant rain event or maybe even some snow again once we get into about Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And it looks like there's another one behind that about 5 days later. So now all of a sudden we've had two significant rain or snow events in March, if that's correct, and you're already near normal or quite a bit above normal for the month of March, and you're only, say, 10 days into it.
Is there anything turning your attention to South America that we need to be aware of with either the Argentine or Brazilian crops? It seems like things have turned fairly benign there.
Well, the only thing that we would note is that if you look at temperatures in Argentina since February 1st, they're in the midst of their number one warmest period for corn since before 1980. And if you look at the soybean producing area, which is a tiny bit different than corn, but pretty similar, they're in the midst of their number two warmest period since 1980. Now, we know that crops are generally filling at the moment. And as you know, being in the U.S., the best way to fill a corn and soybean crop is with wet and cool weather. Well, having been among the warmest since 1980 is probably not ideal, but they've also been pretty wet. Corn and soybeans both around number three to number five wettest since 1980. So, we're looking at the warm and wet close to their growing season. Whether or not that prevents full yield potential will be seen later, but history says that you want to be wet and cool and has been wet and warm.
Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather, joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from the Soybean Summit. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.